Hey, everybody, Zach here. Before we get started with the podcast, I just want to let you know about our sponsor, Anchor. We're new to podcasting here at Salty Saints, and Anchor has made it so easy for us to get started. If you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast, so let me explain a little bit about it. There are creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or your computer. Anchor will then distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership, and it's everything that you need to make a podcast in one place. The best part about Anchor, though, is that it's absolutely free. So if you, like us, want to get your word out there, you want to try your hand at podcasting, make sure that you download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. Hey, thank you for listening to another episode of Salty Saints Podcast, where we hope to better equip you to be salt and light to the community around you. My name is Zach. I am your host, and today I am sitting here with my friend Lainey DeLuna. She is a student, and she is a young adult, and so am I. And that's kind of the idea of what we've got going on today. I wanted to have a conversation between two people, different age categories, but still on the younger side of the Christian faith. And so how's it going?
Good. Thanks for having me.
No problem. As usual, we don't necessarily have an agenda on what's going to be talked about here, but I just want to have a conversation about like what it's like, one, growing up. I mean, did you grow up in the church?
I did not.
You did not grow up in the church?
No, I started going. I went a few times when I was younger just to kind of,
right,
parents took me, but really didn't start going till middle school. And at that point, I was just going to large group services. And
right.
So I was getting something from being in there, but not,
right,
there was that generational gap of just being in a large group with all the adults when I was 12. Wasn't getting necessarily the teaching,
okay,
I needed to. And then, yeah, really started committing, building my relationship with Christ in high school.
Okay. Well, I want to get back to that because I didn't know that, and that's cool.
Okay.
And so I want to talk about that.
Yeah.
But what? Tell people who you are. Like, I mean, don't give them like your address or your social,
right,
security number, but like, you know.
Yeah. So, like Zach said, my name is Lainey DeLuna. I am getting ready to be a sophomore at Indiana Wesleyan University in Marion, Indiana, where I major in music education, but recently just added a minor in youth ministry. So getting ready to start that this semester. 19 years old, but yeah, that's about it.
Cool. Very cool. With that said, so you're going to be a youth minister then. Is that the plan? Or just...
We're kind of all over the place. We're
okay.
Waiting to see where,
that's fair,
God's going to take us. We kind of got a good foundation, and
right,
main thing I know I want to do is work with kids, teaching,
right,
kind of whatever route that looks like. Then
I get the same thing. I'm in biblical studies, and people are like, well, so what are you going to do with that? It's like, I don't know.
I hate that question. I hate it so much. You're like, at this point, your guess is as good as mine.
Right, right. It's like I'm 27, and I'll have a bachelor's by 29. I should have a doctorate by now, you know? So I never know what to tell them.
Right.
You were talking about how you did not grow up in the church.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, do you come from a family of believers? If that's not too personal of a question.
No, absolutely. I'm more than happy to talk about that. We're kind of EC Christians. Growing up, we went on Easter and Christmas.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. But other than that, I mean, we were more Christian than anything else. Just like,
right,
there wasn't another thing we identified with. Like, I always believed in God.
Kind of the typical American,
yeah,
household. Right.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. So then you said you started kind of attending through what, middle school?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So my parents split up when I was in middle school, and then my mom was like, we're going to go back to church. So we started going to a church here on the south side of Indy. My sixth grade, seventh grade year, kind of started regular attendance every Sunday morning.
Okay. And, like, what, How did you get plugged in there? I mean, was it just from attending with your mom then, or?
Yeah. So we, a family friend of ours, they were attending there first and they had invited us to come, and they had two kids that were right around my age. And so kind of just went to the middle school ministry kind of stuff at that point. But I was really hesitant to go because it was in like a different school district than mine was. So, and at the time I was very antisocial, didn't want to go and be a part of this. Also, because I was very intimidated by church as a whole at that point.
Right,
and
right.
So, and then to add on top of that, all these kids didn't know from a different school. So,
okay.
Yeah, I went a few times, but really didn't find my kind of my people, my place in
okay.
there.
So what happened that made you commit your life to Jesus?
Yeah. So,
or give me the quick version. It's up to you, however you go about this, but just kind of how did that process work out?
Yeah. I mean, it really, wheels started really turning sophomore, junior year of high school. And I obviously had been going to church again, but it almost felt like I was kind of going through the motions. Like mm-hmm. once I started back going to church in middle school, I had been baptized because I was like, well, this is what people do. You know, people get baptized.
Right.
And I don't think at the time I fully recognized that like the significance, the total significance of it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, so wheels really started turning sophomore, junior year, realized that like, this is a life I can't do on my mm-hmm. own. Home life was complicated at the time. Lots of things just happening. And I really just was like, I need somebody, and like just finally coming to the understanding that somebody isn't in somebody on earth right now. Like
right.
looking back and understanding that, God, I mean, ultimately that Jesus is who I needed
right.
and really, you know, surrounding myself with people who, because I had a lot of friends at the time who were much farther along in their faith, who invited me to things. And so just making sure I surrounded myself almost constantly with them so that they not lead me, but, you know, just be a helping hand. You know, how do I even do this? Because I didn't grow up seeing like,
right.
okay, you know, this is really what it looks like to devote your life to Christ on a daily basis. How to, I say, wear your faith on your sleeve, you know, that kind of thing. So it was nice to surround myself with people who had a better understanding of what that looks like. And then, yeah, and then through being in the high school ministry here at New Hope, just being in that community really brought me up, was able to teach me that I had a ton of insecurities of like the person I was, places I was coming from. And it was one of those like, you know, am I still worthy? My big faith word is worthy. You know, am I still worthy in the eyes of Jesus? And then understanding like technically, no, you're not. But like, that's what makes Jesus so great is
right.
that he redeems you in that.
Right.
And so
the thing that makes you worthy is hoping that you're worthy.
Yeah. Yeah.
is coming to him to make sure that you are.
Yeah,
right?
Absolutely.
Okay. Very cool. I always like talking to people that didn't grow up in the church, because it's a totally different situation.
Yeah.
I did.
Okay.
And then I kind of quit because it seemed so fake to me.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of it did, or at least I had a really jaded view of what church was.
Mm-hmm.
And then I kind of went off and did my own thing for years, and eventually Jesus called me back, you know.
Mm-hmm.
He doesn't let you stray too far.
Right.
And I don't know. I think because of that time away from things, I think I see things a little different than people who this is all they've ever known. And like,
yeah.
I'm not saying that like I've got some kind of special power that
no,
you losers,
yeah.
you know,
right.
but it's helpful yeah. in a lot of ways because I don't know. I don't always understand why we do some of the things we do in church.
Yeah, I definitely have seen that too.
Yeah. I think that's something that's happening more and more with younger
mm-hmm.
people
mm-hmm.
because like we've talked about like some of the staff people we've done like the EYA like youth stuff, you know,
yep.
we're talking about doing a lot of that right now.
Mm-hmm.
And trying to get like millennials and Gen Z like engaged in the church because young people quit going to church.
Yeah.
And part of what we've talked about is how we've been sold to our whole lives. Like we grew up on social media.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, your generation even more than mine.
Yeah.
And so we're hard sells. Like for like as soon as somebody starts trying to sell us on something, like even if it's like pretty subliminal, we pick up on it. Mm-hmm. We're like, you're trying to sell me on something. You know what I mean? And the church kind of did that. Like it tried to brand itself. Like now I don't know. Do you remember like all the bands that do you even know who Creed is?
Yes.
Yes.
But like but more so because like of jokes.
Okay. Like singing but, like Scott Stapp. Yeah.
Yeah.
But like all those bands that sounded like Creed that were all the Christian bands and like the church, like the WWJD bracelets and like everything was kind of like hard rock, like hippie kind of like vibes.
Yeah, that was that must have come before I started going that to church.
Well, that I came in on like the back end of that.
Okay.
Okay. And so like I grew up seeing this like church branding trying to take place and it was so lame and I hated it. Like it did not work for me at all as a kid.
Yeah. I get what you, not in that same sense, but just like not sure if this is direction, but like worship.
Right.
Kind of like the different sounds of worship. Yep. Like recently been just listening to like not the stuff that they play on like K-Love and stuff doesn't like feed me spiritually, but I'm like, it's not really the type of music that like if I were to choose something the sound of music that I would like that I would want to. And so finding different bands.
You're saying K-Love is not like, that.
Well, and that's just for me personally.
No, I'm with like, you 100%. Yeah, okay, I'm just trying to make sure that's what you're saying.
Yeah. Yeah. And so like finding other bands, like I've been trying to get my sibling, my two sisters on it. They're both younger than me. And I've been like, yeah, he's like a Christian artist, but he, like, he doesn't sound like one. You know, it's kind of that weird, like we've put that in a box of like, not like cheesy guitar chords, but you know, but like cheesy guitar
it
chords.
Is cheesy a lot of the time.
So
I was literally just talking with, sorry, Jimmy. I was just talking with Jimmy about that the other day. How, oh, hey, Jimmy. He sees us through the window.
We're talking about him.
Oh man, my laptop is going to die. Hold on.
So ill prepared.
I know. I forgot to plug it in. We're good. Thanks.
I did that and I like left it on overnight and it was unplugged and I like needed to get on like immediately to do something. I was like dead. And I was like, oh no.
We're good. That's just the millennial in me. What can there I say? Oh, Christian music.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. Why do you think that is though? And do you think that scares off young people? Because like young adults, I mean, what would you consider young adult? Would you consider like high schoolers young adults on some level?
A little bit. I think like maybe senior year you can be a young adult. Because I feel like, I mean, like, of course, when I was in high school, I'm like, I'm a young adult. You need to.
Well, yeah, I thought I was an adult at like 21.
Right.
I definitely wasn't.
Right.
Well, at least not in the mentality that I am now. And I mean, some people mature faster than others. But I thought I was an adult since I was like 14. You know?
Right. Yeah.
I still don't think I'm an adult. Right. By the way.
No, me too. It's okay.
But I just know, like back in middle school, like if somebody was making fun of my music, I would take it to heart. Like,
oh yeah,
that's my music. Don't talk bad about my music.
Oh, I saw something. I forget where, probably might not be true. It was on the internet, so who knows? But it was like the music you listen to at age 14, like, sticks with you. And I like look back at like all the like indie stuff that I would listen, like looking back then I'm like, why was I really into that? But no, I was the same way. I was like, don't talk bad about my music, this is who I am.
Exactly.
As a person.
And so like you find like your sound,
right?
Yeah. Like some people it's like I feel like you kind of get like enveloped by like a certain sound and then you chase that.
Yeah,
there's some people it's like metal, some people it's indie folk, you know, some people it's country, whatever. But like You feel connected to it.
Mm-hmm.
But why is it that none of the Christian bands sound like any of the secular bands musically? Like, at all? Because, like, I love secular music.
Yeah.
I will say that straight up. 90% of the music I listen to is not Christian music.
Yeah.
And it's not because I wouldn't listen to Christian music. It's just there aren't very many good choices as far as Christian artists go, in my personal opinion.
Yeah.
There are some I really love. Mm-hmm. There are some I really enjoy. But overall, it just feels like it's like this stripped down, really cheesy thing.
Yeah. And the word that I think of is like gimmicky almost.
It is. It
is. And so
it's like cookie cutter. It's like they're like, well, this is what they did 10 years ago. Let's make a song about Jesus like that.
Right.
And it's like that didn't come from like your heart.
It's funny. We some play like Christian music roulette that has like the same opening. Like,
yeah.
And my mom and I would be like, ooh, which one is it?
Right. Right. Well, yeah. What? I can't even think of any leads now. But yeah, I mean, the chord progression's always the same.
It's There's one that we do at church. It's... oh my gosh, 10,000.
Oh,
what is it? That one and
His Mercy Is More.
Yes,
they're the same. Yeah.
Every time my mom will start singing the words to one of them, and it's always the other one. She gets so embarrassed.
Yeah, we've talked about that actually. Okay, so my point here is this. Sorry, we get off track. That's all right. It helps me. This helps. Basically. Do you think the fact that Christian music feels like not so genuine has something to do with why people our age probably don't listen to it as much? Because I feel like they don't. Like,
yeah. I mean,
even people I know that are Christians don't listen to Christian music.
Oh, yeah. Same. I don't know. I'm sure it's a lot of everything, but I would say that. I mean, the more and more, like, I learn about Christianity as a whole, really digging into the word more, I, like, the more I listen to some stuff, I'm like, this doesn't even make sense, like, some of the lyrics of stuff.
Right.
And so I think that's part of it. And like we said, just that it doesn't sound like what people are, like, really listening to nowadays.
Right.
And so, and I mean... this may just be me, like, coming from music major standpoint. I mean, music is one of the things that, like, connects large groups of people no matter what. Like,
right.
Everyone, almost everyone has their own connections to music in whatever that is. And what kind they listen to, if they play an instrument, like, whatever that looks like, people can bond over music. And I think that, oh my gosh, I had a thought and now I don't remember where I was going with that.
This is like 90% of my life.
Yeah. But just, like, I don't think that the things that are being, like, the Christian music that's being, like, publicized, like, on K-Love and on the stations are the songs that are connecting with people the way that they connect with music. Because, like, I have struggled with that because I've tried to go on, like, secular music cleanse and be like, hey, I need to just fill even, like, my back thoughts with like Christian music and stuff. So I like did digging. I was like, because my music taste is like more on the indie kind of folky
too.
Side. Okay, great.
Well, and mostly.
So, yeah. I have a few, but it's like, I like went on Spotify and I'm like, okay. And so I found a couple really good playlists and songs that I think are awesome. And sometimes like I found a few that are like, they literally just like take scripture, like copy paste and put it to music. And I'm like, if this is like the literal word of God and like, this is what sounds more like what's on our secular radio today, then like, why aren't we taking advantage of that to put that out to people who, you know, because I think, like I said, people connect to music in so many ways. Music is an easy way that we can connect with those like around us who are
It's like a
unchurched.
Bridge.
So, but yeah. In conclusion, I do think that the music that's being put out on as main, quote unquote, mainstream Christian is a large reason why people get turned away, just because they're like, I don't identify with that music. That's not what I like.
Right.
And they almost translate that to, okay, therefore, the church isn't for me.
Right. And let me clarify what I'm saying is that I don't think that all Christian music is bad. I think there are some really amazing Christian bands
absolutely.
Out there, but they're not the ones you hear on the radio.
Yes.
A few of them are.
Yeah.
A few of them are.
Yeah.
But the vast majority,
And it's one of those things that's always going to be objective. Music will always be objective.
Oh,
and what,
right.
And
subjective. Subjective.
Yes.
Yeah.
Love that.
I got you.
Okay. And like, in some people, like, do get the great messages from those songs, and it's like, not to say that they like the songs that I personally don't like, quote unquote, identify with musically, right, like don't have a good message behind them. And who am I to say that somebody connects with one more? But just like, I've noticed that a lot with people in the young adult generations.
Okay, cool. I think that's fair. I was just curious. I was curious what you
hopefully
thought.
That
no, that's good.
Okay.
And so, I don't know, to continue just kind of talking about like young adults, what, mm-hmm. like you said, I was asking you before we got started here, you're at Indiana Wesleyan, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so it is a Christian school. That mm-hmm. is actually where I am going as well, but I'm online.
Wildcats.
are we the Wildcats?
Yes, we are. Wesley's our mascot, Wesley the Wildcat.
But like, I don't deal with anybody. Like, I don't see anybody. I deal with the same, like, I know, like, five names of people that are in all of my classes. Boards. Yeah, and they're all, like, probably 40s, 50s, mm-hmm. and, you know, they're online working jobs, taking online classes.
Yeah.
But, like, you said primarily, it's probably mostly Christian people there.
Yeah.
A lot of colleges are not.
Correct.
What do we do? what do we do to, like, how do we be a light in those people's lives? I mean, that's the question we've been asking around here for a very long time.
Yeah.
And we're trying. But, like, young adults, like, how do you be a representation of Jesus in the life of someone who, one, probably doesn't care, mm-hmm. because really probably doesn't think that they need help.
Yeah.
I mean, I know that I was pretty independent for a long time.
Yeah.
But I mean, what have you dealt with that any?
Yeah. So I actually am a part of the Young Life organization up in Grant County, where Indiana Wesleyan is. And the point of the organization is working. They have a middle school and high school kind of section of that. But like going into schools, building relationships with unchurched teenagers. And we have, they're like five C's, but one of them is club. And so it's kind of like a Bible study, small group kind of thing. And so just like, I mean, the main thing is just to show them love, because I mean, that's our greatest commandment, is to show love to everyone. Right. And so, but yeah, but just kind of introducing them to the gospel, to Jesus and all that he's done for, even though they don't know him, he knows them and all the things that he's done with them. So yeah, so this is something that the team I'm on, we are constantly thinking about just ways that, I mean, like, and again, like, kind of talked about, like, difference between, like, high schoolers and young adults, but I still think that, like, a lot of the mentality is the same a bit. Like, there's some bridge overlap.
Right.
And so, but yeah, that's what I'm thinking about that.
Okay. So wait, you're talking about this, like, mentality overlap.
Mm-hmm.
So going back and talking to, like, the way the church has, like, tried to brand itself. Do you think that there are people out there that are so worried about putting on a front of what a Christian is supposed to look like that they give up the ability to connect with non-Christians? Does that make sense? Like, when you're so worried about making it look like we've got it figured out,
mm-hmm.
I think we lose a bit of our transparency and ability to connect with non-Christians.
Well, yeah, I think any time you put up a front for anything, you lose a sense of what are my true intentions? Where am I coming from in this? Without just being genuine about it.
Do you see that in the church as a whole, though? And I'm not talking about like New Hope. I'm not talking about, I mean,
Big C church.
I do.
Yeah.
And I hate saying that because like, I feel like I'm not supposed to say that, but like I'm not going to name any churches. I watch some videos of very famous churches, and just the way people are acting and talking, like, I understand Christians aren't supposed to, we're supposed to be different. We're supposed to stand out. But it's so surreal. Like, it does not seem genuine to me.
Yeah.
And, like, I feel like I'm a pretty good judge of character.
Right.
And when I see that, it turns me away. Like, yeah. I don't want to have a conversation with that person. Well, it makes me not want to, you know,
right.
I know I should, but like,
right.
And so like, I'm a Christian and I feel that way. So how does a non-Christian feel when they see somebody just like, hello, how are you?
No, yes.
God loves you so much. Yeah. You know? And it's like, this like, doesn't feel real. This feels like you're acting, you know, like, and maybe you're not. And I hope you're not.
Right. But. No, definitely. And when I think about like that lack of transparency in the church and like trying to put on a front for something. I mean, I think even back to when I was trying to. In high school, trying to find a youth group that I really, because I tried out a few before landing a New Hope, trying to find them like, okay, what do I need right now in my life? Like, what do I need from a youth group? And then even like being up in Marion, living in a different city and trying to find a church there, like it's so scary walking into the first time. Because even though people are like the, we don't have it all together, like that just itself seems as like just be yourself, you know. It's one of those things that like you don't have to tell me you don't have it all together.
Oh,
like,
okay. So I've, even the act of saying we don't have it all together, that seems things, like a brand too.
It's like I understand that, like that's the whole point. As Christians, we don't have it all together. That's why we need Jesus, you know. And so, but yeah, I think back to what I'm like, I felt like I had to put up a front, and I think that's a big thing that turns young adults specifically away, is because I feel, I don't know how you feel, but I feel like young adults right now, either purposefully or not purposefully, are trying to be very different from generations that have come before them in a lot of ways. And so,
because we grew up on the Hunger Games and Harry Potter and all of these all of these shows where the kids rise up and save the day, and now that's what's happening, or is what's trying to take place.
Well, not even that, but just like with just being different and being okay with and like embracing those differences in a lot of ways. And I think that that in itself, like somehow along the ways, we got that like church isn't accepting of those differences. Like, I've just seen that a lot, because I have a lot of friends I went to high school with who aren't necessarily, like, Christians, like, putting their life in Christ. And, like, hearing their concerns, like once I built up the courage to have that kind of conversation with them, you know, like, where, like, are you open? And it's just, like, I just don't feel welcome. And it's, like, where do we get lost in that? We're, like, that's exactly what we're supposed to be welcoming. Right. We're supposed to be embracing all those things. Like, where did it get lost that we aren't that?
Right. I'm terrible about remembering what scripture says what, but I remember what scripture says. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, no, I'm
which
same way.
I think is okay, because it was originally written without numbers. So get over it, guys.
Yeah, for real. But- I'm like, ask me. I'm like, I can remember many things. They're like, oh, where is that? I was like, don't know the address.
Exactly.
I was like, I'll put it into Google and like reverse search it.
I do that all the time. But like the verse about they'll know you by your love for one another. Mm-hmm. That's the church. They'll know you by your love for one another. And I heard Francis Chan talking one time. By the way, I love Francis Chan. But he said, I mean, have you ever been somewhere? Have you ever been to a church where you walked in and you're like, these people love each other? Because, like, I've never just had that overwhelming sense of walking into a church ever. I mean, not one. And just been like, these people all love each other. You know what I mean? Like, and part of that, I think, is because the way we do church now, it's more of like a come and sit and watch, rather than like, you get back to like the church in Acts and they're like meeting where they can and they're persecuted. So they're hiding out together, you know, and like, I'm not saying we need to be persecuted and hide out, but like, it was more like a family, you know? And like that's the vibe I get. Now, maybe I'm just wrong. I don't know.
No,
but that's what it feels like. And so, I mean, where did that get lost?
No, I definitely, after one of our staff meetings that I sat in and was talking to Andrea about it, and was like, I feel like over the generation, because we have like large age span at New Hope, and speaking about New Hope in itself, like we, like there's so much that we can learn from each other. I'm like, I would love to, like, I mean, like, I know we've got like the two meals a year or whatever where we like church meals, but it's like, I feel like they're like, come to church, sit down, watch the sermon, and then like the only community, like, really, that like across generations, like I think like all of our individual ministries are great, but it's like like looking across the span of those, so like then the only commonality we have is like we listen to the same sermon,
Right.
If that makes sense.
Right.
And so I was like, you know, I would like, I mean, obviously, like, I'm going back to school, but, like, just looking at, I was like, I would love the opportunity to, like, sit down with some of our,
right,
like, older members and just, right, be like, what, not only what can you teach me, but, like, how are we the same? You know, how are our lives super similar? Like,
right,
are there things you could even learn from me? And I know I can learn things from you, you know?
Yes. I think we have to be more intentional, though.
Like, yeah.
Because I feel the exact same way.
Mm-hmm.
I am on staff here. I work here.
Yeah.
I get up there. I play the songs. And then after the service is over, I generally have to run around and make sure the back door is locked. Mm-hmm. And I have to make sure the lights in the back are off. And I have to make sure the computer gets,
yeah,
the sermon gets uploaded. Well, we're not doing whatever. For a while, that's how it was. But
yeah,
my problem is I feel like by the time I've done the few things I need to check off my list, I get out front and like everybody's already kind of like dissipated. You know, everybody's,
yeah,
like walking off. The other thing I feel like is we all have our little groups.
Mm-hmm.
We've definitely got cliques.
Yeah.
And that, I mean, that's just a human thing.
Right.
You're going to do that. That's, mm-hmm, everywhere. But my thing is, like, I think people, like, older generations think we don't care to talk to them. And
yeah,
I think we're too afraid to approach and say, hey, I want to talk to you.
Yeah.
how do you just come right out and say, I want to learn from you?
Right.
You know?
Because it's not even those things like, oh, like, I would like your advice on this. It, most of the time, it's just like, I just want to, like, have a conversation, like, learn,
right,
about you.
Right.
And, yeah.
Right.
And I'm like, I can't. I personally am, right, not,
right,
one to do that. So.
But the other thing is, I feel like then if we were to try and do something, like, if we were to try and structure that idea, and then we were to say, okay, we're going to have this meeting on this night.
Like, yeah.
Older generation is going to come and a younger generation is going to come and you guys are just going to talk. I don't think that would work because it,
yeah,
would be like so forced,
right,
you know? And like, I think we crave like very organic relationship as,
yes,
younger generations. I think everybody,
right,
wants that, you know?
Right.
But yeah, that's something I've thought about a lot. I don't think you could ever just force it. So,
right,
definitely some fault on our end there. I,
right,
think
and I don't mean force, but just like the open-ended opportunity to,
right,
if that makes sense. I,
right,
mean, like, whether you want to sit with your family and your family's friends and that's what you want to do during this time, then you're more than welcome to. Like, we're just in opens. But if it's like, give that opportunity that, like, I'm not like speed dating, but, you know, but just like,
right, right,
that kind of thing that's like, as a church, let's just get together and, like,
more
quote,
more,
unquote, hang
more
out,
communal
if that
time.
Makes sense.
More,
yeah,
communal time. We've,
yes,
actually, okay, that's interesting.
What?
Nothing.
Okay.
Nothing.
cool.
Yeah, cool. Yeah, I don't know what the answer is, which is why I'm asking you, but like, I talk to a lot of even like atheists in,
mm-hmm,
my life. I play in a band and so I play a lot of bars and things and I have a lot of time to like sit down and talk to people,
yeah,
who aren't involved in the church at all.
Mm-hmm.
But I wonder if because of the kind of like Christian bubbles we make, we miss opportunities to talk to people of different mindsets than us.
Yeah.
And, like, I'm lucky enough that I've just kind of forced myself into settings where I'm surrounded by people that,
yeah,
don't think by me, like me. And I'm not great at even capitalizing on those opportunities. But, like, I wonder how we make that space. Does that make sense? Like, a space.
Make the space of.
A space where we are in kind of an informal, conversational environment with people from different walks of life from us that we can evangelize. Essentially, like not force anything down their throat kind of,
right,
thing, but like,
yeah,
to just have conversations with people that don't think like us, because,
yeah,
I think Christians get stuck in our Christian bubbles. Do you run into that with IWU?
Oh, absolutely. There's a name, the IWU bubble that we like were. No, I'm serious. There was an Instagram account I just follow. It's called IWU Pin Drop. And it's because like Pin Drop dropped the pin on the IWU bubble and realized that like, there are other things in Marion, like, other things to be a part of than just IWU. Like, no, we, like, warn, like, student, like, incoming freshmen, like, there is the IWU bubble, but, like,
get out of it.
Get out, like, do your, yeah.
So how, though?
That's, I mean, and I think it looks different for everyone.
I'm not talking to you like I think you've got all the answers. I definitely
okay.
I'm not going to pretend that nobody does.
Yeah,
but I do want to pick your brain. Yeah, so that's why I'm asking.
No, I mean, I think it's one of those things that is just different for everyone. I mean, for me, like, it's like working with kids, and so like Young Life is a great opportunity for me to like be out and meet new people and have different conversations with people and go into the schools. And like, I mean, that's how I see it, but other people can see it differently. I mean, yeah.
Okay.
I mean,
yeah, it's just, I don't think there's a good answer to that, honestly, but these are the things we got to address, you know?
Right.
Okay, cool. I guess how do you find yourself evangelizing outside of like just working with kids? Like you were just like what you were just saying.
Yeah.
Are there any ways outside of that?
I mean, right now my ways are super limited just with being full-time student and stuff. Like just most of my interactions right. are with either people my own age or high school age kids.
Right.
And so, I mean,
that's the environment you're in.
Yeah. That's fair, just though. The environment.
So, I mean, that's kind of what we've been talking about lately, though. That's the reason I ask.
Yeah.
Is because, like, we all have an area of life that we are pretty constantly in, you mm-hmm. know, like generally it's our work environment,
yeah,
or if, you know, our home life or whatever, but mm-hmm. we do have people around us we can influence, and so that's kind of what this yeah. live, love, go
yeah.
thing we're talking about, you know, it's yeah. our new series concept is be Jesus in every corner
yeah.
of the world you're in. And so yeah, I think we just need to promote more of that within the church, and I think by doing that would make us more approachable. Just have you watched The Chosen, the new show? It's like an app.
I think so.
It's a big plug for them. You're welcome. our 75 viewers or whatever are gonna blow up the app now. But it's the gospel, and it's like it's like a Game of Thrones budget. Like, it's great. The acting is great.
Okay.
It's filmed perfectly. Which we could get into Christian films, but I don't know. We got enough time for that.
Come back for that one.
Yeah, exactly. but like, it looks great. It sounds great. It's awesome. I think it's the best depiction of Jesus I've ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
But there's like one episode of Jesus just doing his thing. Like, it's not even biblical. Like, at least it's not pulled straight from scripture. But
yeah.
the entire third episode is them just showing what it would have been like a day in Jesus's life.
Yeah.
And so he's hanging out in the outskirts of one of the cities. I'm not sure where. And he's in his like little tent, and there's a little girl from a nearby village, and she comes up and she like sees him, and so she's like spying on him, and she brings a friend back with her, and he like knows she's there.
Yeah.
So he like kind of calls out to him, and he's like, oh, you know, I hope if there were any kids here that they would be courteous enough to say hello, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so they like kind of pop up, and over the course of the episode, these kids just have like 20 or 30 kids with them now.
Yeah.
Back at Jesus's camp, and he's like teaching them how to make little knickknacks and stuff. But it's like, when we think of Jesus, we yeah. see him in these scriptures. And
yeah.
so we get these little snippets mm-hmm. of, and then he did this, and then he did this. But there's no account for what day-to-day life was like.
Mm-hmm.
And that whole show is just about showing day-to-day life of all these famous biblical characters.
That's kind of cool.
Right.
I kind of did that.
Yeah. So the cool thing about it is I feel like it's a real example of like bringing it to life and showing like Jesus made jokes.
Yeah.
Jesus was a clever guy. He would kind of yeah. poke fun at people and like kind of make fun of them a little bit, you know, in good
yeah.
taste kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
And like it puts an emphasis on the importance of day-to-day life.
Oh, absolutely.
And I think we need to do that as Christians too. Like Christianity, like me and Jason were talking about what is worship a few weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
And it was all about kind of how everything you do in life needs to be directed towards God.
Mm-hmm.
And so, I mean, just having a conversation with somebody and loving them, that's worship.
Right.
That is living as Christ.
Yeah.
And so I think we need to do more of that.
Yeah, I agree. Like, in my over quarantine, I obviously had a lot of time to sit and think. So
right.
one of the things I came to, like the expression, like heart on your sleeve, then taking that, just like wear your faith on your sleeve. And like,
right.
like you kind of said, like that will show in the things you do. And so I think that's been, not that I'm like walking around like being rude to people on the street, but just one thing that's like, okay, love, but love with the love that I've been shown, love with the kind of Jesus love, you know?
Yes.
So.
Right.
Yeah. But just making that into every conversation with people. Because even like being at Indian Wesleyan, like the people I surround myself with are believers and stuff. But even like, I think that like showing them that love, then that empowers them almost.
Yes.
To then do the same.
I'm with you. And I have one last question. And I'm going to ask it now because that gives us a few minutes to hash through it.
Okay.
I mean, we can take all the time we want.
Right.
Okay, this is generally our ballpark range. But so loving people, that's what we're called to do.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You mentioned that earlier. We mentioned the, you know, their love for each other. Your love for each other is how people know you. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So what does loving people look like? Because I think our society as a whole has a very warped view of love.
I agree.
Go for it.
Okay.
This is your time to shine.
I mean, I think we live in a society that's very self-serving, very I'm going to do what I'm going to do because I am me and I make the rules for me.
Live your truth.
Yes, live your truth. And I think that we have created the idea of love, that love is supporting every decision that somebody makes because I'm not you know, live out your truth. Who am I to tell you what your truth is? But it's like our society has said love is condoning and supporting every single choice that somebody makes because that's the choice that they've made for themselves, when I don't see it as that.
No,
so.
you're this is exactly what I wanted you to say. So I'm very happy right now.
But love just goes deeper than that, I think. Love is holding those people that you're close to accountable for the things. If you know that they shouldn't be doing a certain thing, it's saying, hey, I mean, again, trying to be compassionate, show empathy within it, but saying, hey, let's maybe rethink this, let's work through this together, or what, you know,
right,
like whatever that looks like, whether you're like, some people are like with loving with those kinds of things, it's like some people are more, okay, I'm gonna, you know, have this conversation with them and then pray for them, that kind of thing. And so like, and I think we all should do that, but I think some people are more comfortable with being like, okay, how can I walk this through with you? What can we do? Kind of that team aspect, if that makes sense. But loving is definitely not, loving is holding people accountable to me. Loving is.
It's like how a parent looks at a little kid.
Yes.
Like, you don't let your kid stick his hand on the stove or go play in traffic. You know, like, you know what's good for them.
Yeah. Love, I think, is enabling and I had another word, but enabling people to be them best selves in the place that they're safe, if that makes sense. Like, safe in the sense
of, be the best you within the confines of what is right.
Yes.
Right.
You worded that great.
Okay.
That's what I was
saying. I'm with you. I think the real problem, though, is that we've lost sight of what truth is, which, I mean, could not be presented better than the fact that a phrase, live your best truth, exists.
Yeah.
I mean, the motto of Satanism, of Levian Satanism, is do what thou wilt. How is that any different? Like, that is the same thing, which I don't know. Somebody may be listening to this and be like, wow, Satanism sounds pretty sweet. Please don't think that.
Yeah.
but yeah, I mean, it's all about what do you want? What do you want? Okay, well, that's fine. And that, there's no truth in that.
Yeah.
Truth is not subjective. Truth is, and me and Randy kind of got into this, talking about this yesterday on a podcast that I don't know we're going to put out just yet. But, like, the truth is the truth.
Yeah.
We all know it. We mm-hmm. all know that there is a absolute moral right and wrong mm-hmm. at the center of all things.
Yeah.
I mean, how do we know that things like rape and murder and stealing and we all know those things are wrong.
Right.
But even the people that don't believe in God believe those things are wrong.
Right. And it's just one of those things that I love this visual of how God sees sin. It's it's got a picture of a bar graph, how we would see it. It's it's super high bar is murder. And then it's gossiping is a shorter one. But then how God sees it, it's over the top and it's all. And I think a big thing for non-believers is yes, we can all agree that you shouldn't rape, you shouldn't murder, you shouldn't steal, you shouldn't commit arson. But it's those things that are I don't know, those things that then kind of fall into what is quote unquote my truth. I think those things are usually the things that get blurred out, or where things are blurred in what is right and what is wrong across people who
right.
are non-believers.
Right, right, right. Mm-hmm. I think that's fair.
Yeah.
But it's just funny though that we're willing that non-believers are mm-hmm. willing to accept certain things as absolutely right or absolutely wrong, and then other things as these gray areas.
Mm-hmm.
But the problem is so many believer or non-believers don't have a basis on which to build what is right or wrong.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like where does right and wrong come from in an atheist worldview?
Oh, yeah.
And maybe, can we tackle that real quick? Can we just?
Yeah, I mean, sure. Okay. Yeah.
You were talking about how you wanted, we were talking about the EYA stuff the other day.
Yeah.
And you were like, I would like to know how to talk to people better about things that they believe and then mm-hmm. versus what I believe.
Yeah.
Was it you that said that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Just apologetics.
Right. Right. Mm-hmm. Exactly. And so the basis of apologetics is to work it backwards to that foundation, mm-hmm. to work every conversation back to the root and
yeah.
say, well, where'd it come from?
Mm-hmm.
What's the root?
Yeah.
And so in this situation that we're talking about right here, how can you know what is right or wrong if you don't even have something to hold it to?
Mm-hmm.
Is it based on society? Is it based on what man decides?
Yeah. I mean, I think for people who aren't believers, who don't have a God to look to as laid out, as my people, these are the things I have designed for you. These are the ways I want you to live. Then the only other place to turn is the world.
Right.
And so, I mean, I even think back to dumb things I did in high school and I was still trying to figure out.
Right.
Who I am as a follower of Christ, and at the time having those friends who were believers, but also having a handful that weren't, and them sometimes being like, oh, well, that's not that big of a deal, and then be sitting there spending time with God and be like, no, that's a thing that I need to repent for, and I need to figure out how
right.
to either distance myself from that or figure out how to not do it again, because
right.
for to be the person that God has called me to be, I can no longer think live that as a truth,
right,
if you will.
But the reason you think that is because God is the standard upon which things are built.
Right.
God said it's right. God said it's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
My thing is, how do we talk to people that don't believe in God? I mean, they believe this is wrong, this is right.
Mm-hmm.
But they're borrowing from our worldview. They're
yeah.
borrowing from a worldview where there is a God and
right.
saying, well, yeah, well, that's wrong. It's like, well, wait, who says? Who says
yeah.
in your worldview? Like,
uh-huh.
you're just matter. Like, you're just brain fizz. Like, you're
yeah.
a chemical reaction. Like, why does it matter if I steal your TV? You know?
Right.
it doesn't
yeah.
matter. And so my thing is, how do we we need to do a better job of one, loving people to get close enough to them that we can have these conversations.
Right.
And I think that's the problem is I'm not meaning to pick on the older generation, but when you call, I feel like millennials get looked at like they're just stupid a lot of the time.
Yes.
And millennials do the same thing to older generations
yeah.
because, I mean, it's the two warring sides
yeah.
of things, you know? But
because there's the want to be different than them. And I think somehow in there, sometimes it's kind of been misconstrued as,
right.
well, then we just don't want to be like them, but therefore we don't like them,
Right.
I don't think that should be the case.
Right.
In it.
I'm with you.
Okay.
Okay. So.
Cool.
in conclusion.
Yes.
in conclusion of the 47 topics that we've just talked about, or however many. Yeah, I mean, if we're gonna mend this relationship between generations,
mm-hmm.
if we're going to advance the church throughout the generations,
yeah,
then we have to be more intentional about not getting all flustered and not getting all upset when somebody doesn't think like us,
yeah,
and loving them, not condoning what they do, just loving them, being good to them, caring about them, because that opens up opportunity to have the important conversations.
Oh, yeah. One of the greatest things I ever heard was in training for getting ready to do Sunday school preschool ministry here when I was in high school. And I forget who was leading it, but it was like the number one thing at like the top of the packet. It was like, and it just said love. And then they started to build upon it. And it was like, A kid may not remember the Bible story you tell them, but if you show them love and you show them all these things, then they're going to be way more receptive to the things you have to say. Because if they don't feel loved, they're not going to feel safe. And therefore, you're going to get nowhere with them because you're going to put up that wall. And I think that's not just true for kids, but that's true for anyone, any human. Because like, I'm not going to have a conversation with somebody if I don't feel safe, if I feel like I'm just going to be demeaned, you know? And I think that getting flustered shuts us off from a lot of great conversations that we could be having with so many people.
Right. And I noticed your shirt after I mentioned the WWJD.
Yeah, I know. I thought about making a comment.
Which is hilarious. No, it's funny because it's that what the he would love first is the response to that.
Yeah.
Well, if he loves first, well, then he can decide what he's going to do. You know, like, we've got to love first.
Right.
We've got to love people before we do anything else.
Right.
You build on that. It's exactly like you just said. That's solid.
Yeah.
Very cool. Well, we have been at it for 50 minutes, which is pretty good. I think this is our longest one. Congratulations.
Well, thank you.
And good talking to you. Thank you so much for hanging out.
Thank you for having me.
So I hope this information is something you guys can chew on and think through. And I know I will be doing the same. And stay salty.
This is my skyship, Dreamer. My cargo is stories. And our destination, dreams.
With Abide Sleep Stories for Kids, you can help your children fall asleep fast and learn about God. To find these kids' bedtime stories, go to lifeaudio.com or search your favorite podcast app for Abide Stories for Kids. You can also download the Abide app for more biblical meditations at abide.com.